You are now listening to Soundspace, the podcast where we interview experts and professionals in the space of sound.
Hi guys, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Soundspace. It is our final episode of 2022, our wrap-up episode. We did it. We are out here, man. We have posted all of our guest episodes that were all recorded in the span of a month and a half, I would say. And it's so good to be just back in real time. We're recording this in current time in late 2022. We released over 13 episodes now. This is our 14th, and I'm just so excited to be back here with you, Anthony. A lot of things to get through in this episode. How have you been, man?
Oh, so good. So much has changed and so much has happened since we started recording this and throughout 2022. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I think obviously this episode is going to be different. We don't have a guest, but we do have a lot of surprises for you guys. Let's just say we have some sort of guest today, but it's not exactly a guest. We're going to be doing this episode in three segments. This first one will be a wrap-up of this year. And then when you hear our transition sound effect, that means we're changing segments. I think this first wrap-up this year, before we get into the whole thing, Anthony, I think it'd be fun for our viewers and listeners. Let's just kind of go over, how was your year, like, outside of the podcast and in audio, and what are some projects you undertook personally, just to give us a quick update, since we haven't heard you since literally a year when we were recording all these batch guest episodes, you know?
Yeah. So I don't remember when we recorded the last one, but I worked at a studio for a while and that was incredible. And then I moved city. I'm living now in Toronto. So that was a hell of an experience, you know. That was, you know, very stressful, but fun, exhilarating, you know, so many new things. You know, starting out new jobs, you know, starting off was kind of the rough part, you know. I had a lot of temporary jobs, like freelance stuff, left, right, and center. And you know how it is with freelance, you know, it's just you can work any hour of the day. You'll work sometimes at 1 a.m., sometimes at 4, sometimes at in the middle of the day. It doesn't matter. Like, right. There's no regularity. And now I'm just I got myself a regular, I guess, stable job, which is kind of a breath of fresh air. So yeah, what about you, man?
Man, so much. Obviously, I continue to produce content on all of my other projects. This year was a lot of fun. I worked at a lot of different studios. Continued doing the location sound stuff, and that's been going great. Started doing more freelance work. The Spotify blew up so much this year for me. Produced hundreds of covers. You know, I don't know if hundreds, but at least I've been posting a lot of covers, and Anime Podcasters has been going great. And Chip Machine released an EP for that, and just a lot of it went really well. This year went really well.
Congrats,
I also moved places, still in Montreal. You know what? I'm in a really good headspace, and I think that this year was a lot of fun too, because it allowed me to grow as an engineer. And I feel like we can both agree to say this, that like Anthony and I have a new vision for this podcast. We really want to take it to another level, and you will see that in the next coming segments that we're really upping the levels in 2023. You guys are going to expect some big things are coming in 2023 in terms of guests, content, just a lot of big things are happening, and I'm extremely excited for that. Let's just jump into, before we wrap it up, let's jump into this year. We had 12 different guests. We had Casey Pocious, Jacob Lacroix Cardinal, Daniel Savage, Vincent Gravel Trudel, Kayla Shears, Juan Gomez, Nusha Tahirian, Tiana McLaughlin, Marquis Desmarais, Luca the producer, and our most recent guest episode, Michael Pensino. All of you, a big thank you for giving us your time and your voice and sharing your growth in audio. It was an extremely informative, educational, inspiring, beautiful 12 conversations that Anthony and I were blessed with. I'm really, really grateful for all of you, and just a big thank you. Anthony, what are your thoughts? Did you want to share?
You said it right, man. Like, truly inspiring. I love that you use that word, because I met some of the guests for the first time when we interviewed them. And, you know, you know who I was when I started recording this with you, and how much I feel like I've changed after meeting these people and speaking with them and becoming close friends with some of them. Is just hearing people's experiences and their processes and their ways of thinking. It was truly inspiring. That was a perfect word. I couldn't have used a better word to describe it.
Yeah. Well, I'm in full agreement with you. For me, these episodes, they really all stood apart from each other. We had some people from the electroacoustic program, like Casey and Danielle and Kayla, and literally a teacher of it with Michael Pensino. We also had Tiana, and all of these people, just them, are all so different and have all these different experiences in sound are so interesting. And then we had artists like Marquise de Marais, which, you know, is another just incredibly talented musician and just in her own rights, and she's putting out amazing music, and I'm so proud of her. We had film music people like Nusha, you know, who has been doing fantastic compositions on her social media and studying hard, and I'm so proud of her. And I obviously Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Vincent's another
definitely
one of these people that I met him at UCAM in the film music program, and he just has this hard work ethic that I really respect, and talent that I really, really knew. Like, I literally, when Anthony and I were coming up with our first draft of guests, I was like, I know a guy.
I remember you telling me that.
You know?
You're like, this person is a necessity. We have to have this guest on. I was, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, this is like, if we're doing this, this person's coming on. And obviously, I want to give a big shout out to my two Planet Studio brothers, Jacob and Juan. Jacob is a huge inspiration for me.
Yeah.
He helped me so much grow through Planet Studios, and he's still someone that I go to for advice, and he's doing amazing projects. He started his own YouTube channel called Mix with Jacob, and dropping weekly videos with such great mixing tips and advice that I really recommend all of our listeners to go check out.
Yeah,
and
whether you're I just wanted to add to that, whether you're an experienced audio engineer or new to it, you know, there's always stuff you could learn from his channel, from Jacob. You know,
100%. He's doing great TikToks as well. I saw him the other day. He's full of life. He's living his best life.
Yeah, I saw him when I went back to Montreal a couple weeks ago.
Good. And Juan as well. You know, another person that was in the Planet Studio trenches with me, and he's doing great projects as well. And of course, Luca the producer, another super talented producer that I'm so glad said yes to this. And his episode was one of the ones where we were in real time recording it. And as he was discussing his project, I was just mesmerized. And I kind of lost like the interviewer hat for a minute. And I was like, whoa. And then that, and tell me more. I was like gushing and nerding out the entire episode. And that one's got really good feedback as well. Every episode has gotten great feedback. It's really crazy to me that so far, not one hate comment came our way. Not one negative thing came our way. Everyone enjoyed every single episode, and for that, thank you all.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know, why would they? Because it's just nothing but, I don't want to say that, but this is good. It sounds cheesy when I say that, but it's just good vibes, you know? I really like the energy that we created here.
I agree. So let's go ahead. And I think we should just talk about, let's tease a little bit here. Obviously, Anthony and I are SoundSpace. But if you want to grow things, Anthony, you need to recruit.
You need to.
You got to find someone who's passionate about music and sound. And you got to see if they're willing to put on the podcasting headphones and microphone and discuss with us. Should we bring in a third person is what I'm asking you right now. Is that where we're heading right now?
I think absolutely we should. Absolutely we should.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in full agreement with you. In fact, let's go ahead and do that in this very next segment.
And with hiring comes firing. Jayan, you're fired.
That would have been we need to replace myself. This will be my last episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to segment two. Let me please introduce to you a brand new podcast member, Caduce Gordon. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you very much, good sir. Is there an applause sound effect
we will can insert put right it later? Don't so worry
that
about I, it.
Okay. So that I feel welcome.
Or, you know, maybe a boo. Like we can insert that. Or,
well, you know what? After the technical problems that led up to this, I think that would be earned.
Some but crickets.
You know what? This is a positive environment.
Kudus is joining us as the third member of Sound Space. How are you doing today, Kudus?
I am better than ever, Jan. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm very glad to have you come on with us. Q is going to be a new host. He's going to be adding in his perspective, and I want to just maybe start off with how you and I met and how we reconnected, and then let's talk about, you know, your experience in audio and music and what you will bring on the podcast. I'm very excited right now. So how did we meet, Q? Give us a little bit of the quick story here.
You know, that night is a bit of a blur for me, but I know for a fact that Katie was hosting a end of the year MIA party, and I think I didn't know a ton of the people there because I thought it was just going to be the people in my class, but she was in a different group. So I just saw a bunch of people sitting in a circle on the floor, and I said, okay, this is my group now. I just sort of glommed onto the side of that. And you were one of them, and we got to chatting. I think it was you, me, and Mark of Okies, right?
Yes, Mark.
It was the three of us, and we just started chilling. And then at some point, you said, oh, let's keep in touch, and then invited me over to your house to do an anime cover, which I had never heard of. I knew you were like an anime freak, but I knew nothing what I was doing. You were just like, okay, play this thing on the guitar. And I was like, okay. And then you're like, okay, now do this bass thing. And that was, I think, the first time I came to your house when you're still living
Hull. Exactly.
And that was the last time.
That's right. That was the first and last time that I was invited to Jan's house.
Because then I moved to Montreal. But yes, exactly. Q and I met because we both did the music industry art program at Algonquin College in Ottawa. And there was an end of semester party for your year because Q did the year right after me, and there was this one person who was hosting that party who attended the program for both years. So she invited me, and that's where I met Q, and that's exactly correct. We collaborated on doing music, and you recently moved to Montreal.
Yes,
and we reconnected here, and I'm so glad we did. What are you doing now in Montreal? What are you doing audio there now?
I am working at a lovely studio called SNG Studios, although the name might change by the time this comes out, so I might put a little tag on that later. But they're in the middle of an ownership change right now. But yes, I'm working as a house engineer there, and it's awesome. It's an amazing gig, and kind of working on my own music on the side, just
great
for fun.
Very exciting. What kind of projects do you do over there?
Lately, I've just been building a lot of instrumentals for projects that will have vocals recorded over them independently from me. Like, I'm just overseeing the kind of construction of the foundation of the song, you know, just executing all the drums, bass, chords, and leads and whatnot. And that's kind of the job that I'm most often doing. However, lately, I have a really regular gig with reference pitch ads. So, you know, the deal, like you have a description, an advertising agency will reach out and say, hey, we're looking for this type of instrumental. This is the genre. This is the tempo. This is the atmosphere, blah, blah, blah. And then I just make something like that. And I've just been submitting, you know, all these little sort of 2.5 minute ideas. And I recently got one picked up. So,
oh, nice.
Who knows? I might be scoring an advertise. I've been told nothing about the ads themselves because I guess it's confidential until it comes out. So I don't know what it's an ad for, but it's kind of a lot of fun. I just get to be creative and throw some ideas.
For sure. That's super exciting.
Congratulations.
You know? Have you guys done that?
I haven't.
It's very consistent money.
It does sound like a lot of fun though. I wouldn't mind doing it. You know,
I've done it a little bit this year. I started putting my toe back into the film music pool and signed a few contracts here and there. Nothing major picked up yet, but it's a very exciting endeavor to embark on for sure. I want the audience to know, like, Q, I really perceive you as a very musical person. You definitely have audio aptitudes as well. I don't want to take that away from you. But I think you're one of the most musical people I know. And what's very exciting about that is as we go towards the guest that we have this year, a lot of artists are going to come on. And I think you're going to be able to reach them in a way that I can't, because I'm definitely not as musical as you. Let's maybe talk about your musical background a little bit, just so people know what instruments you play, what inspires you, what's your approach, just to get to know you more on that level, because it's something that you do very well.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely correct in that, in the, if you were to divide music people into groups of like are you talking about decibels, are you talking about, you know, phantom microphones, preamps, etc., or are you speaking about you know, major sevenths, things like that? I'm like, when it comes to the theory, the part that I am far more educated on is the musical side. Despite going to college, I still feel that I'm more leaning towards the musical side. So I think that's why we have a good little dynamic, you know, because you're much
absolutely
more in the electroacoustic, in sound and audio and right, the technology.
Well, Q,
of it, so.
I have an EA background, and I still feel more musical than technical. I don't think that says much.
Okay, I made a generalization, I suppose.
How dare you?
Would you say that most people in that program are kind of technology leaning or music leaning?
Oh man, that program
is so diverse.
Has a wide variety.
It's,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Can't really.
So diverse. Anthony said it perfectly.
I would say 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know. Because I don't know, I would say 50-50.
I wouldn't even number it personally. I just feel like people who, like, the group of people I met in there and graduated with, like, some of them are doing just creative classical music stuff. Some of them are just doing posts for television. Some of them are just doing location sound. Like, it's so all over the map. Some of them are just making sound design projects. It's really, really, really wide. Whereas the music industry arts background, a lot of people come out of there and they will make, like, you know, popular music or like country music or like have a metal band.
I think it's safe to say for MIA, 100% of the people in that program either play an instrument or make beats or, you know, electronic music in a DAW, which I suppose is its own instrument in a way.
I think that's like a starting point that a lot of people will jump from into music and industry arts, but I understand where you're coming from. I don't know if I would say 100% though, because some people go in there just because they want to learn about
100%
music
is kind of
or
a bold,
music entrepreneurship.
Bold thing to say.
Yeah.
But probably. Probably a high number of people.
I was trying to think of one. And I think, Jen, you're a bit of an outlier in terms of the Algonquin course. Like when it comes to like whether you make beats or play an instrument. Because the music business was, I would guess, maybe like a quarter of what we covered was the business side of things. I didn't really ask around much, but I don't know how many folks like went into that with a music business interest.
I know 2 or 3 people who are doing just music business stuff now.
Really?
Who did the music industry arts program. Some of them are publishers. Once again, these programs teach us so much stuff. They present to you so many avenues, and then people embark on their favorite ones. And every year is so diverse that, you know, the results are always different. I think everyone's a bit of an outlier in that sense, because I can't think of 2 people who are doing the exact same thing when it comes to music industry arts who have like pursued music or audio, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting because the most valuable thing that I got out of it was not the amazing technology that you get access to, or like the, you know, professors, like experienced professionals that you get to pick their brain. It was purely just like meeting the right people. And I would not, it's one of those weird domino things where I don't think of the knowledge from that time as the reason that got me here. I think that is more like the practice that I did immediately afterwards to actually get my chops up. But the connections that I made 7 years ago in college, it's like I met someone, and that is how I met my current boss, Sonny, here. So in a very direct way,
absolutely.
MIA is the reason why I moved to Montreal and got a studio job. So I 100%. I know I speak to a lot of naysayers who are like, oh man, you can't learn arts. You know, you can't learn the arts in a school. That shit's not in a textbook. It's all in, you know, like they're kind of dreamer people. And I'm like, I see the sentiment that you're coming from, but you will meet so many valuable people if you just go to a place where everyone is like you and everyone wants to be in the same industry as you.
Yeah.
It is 100% yeah, worth it.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I just want to add to that and maybe to slowly start closing things out on this as I definitely see like out of all three diplomas I did, music industry arts, Concordia electroacoustic studies and UCAM film music, what I took the most out of music industry arts personally was that the second it came to be a professional in sound and work at a studio, the degree that helped me the most was music industry arts for sure. Like 98% of what I used was what I learned from that program, and like 2% was from like electroacoustic studies.
2%?
Because that program, I would say, because music industry arts was very technical. We had 2 to 3 studio classes every single week, and they were drilling us on signal flow, recording, polar patterns, preamps, outboard gear, you know, Pro Tools.
You know, it probably felt that way because it was a very concentrated course. It was very concentrated, whereas Concordia was very technical as well. It just probably didn't feel that way because it was, you know, a little bit of a longer program. It was a little more spread out. Would you agree?
Well, the thing is, I think this is a good thing to bring up. The Algonquin classes were so technical and so recording heavy that when it came to the recording classes at Concordia, I got exempt from there's like a beginner, intermediate, and advanced, and they were like,
well, yeah, you got exempt from them because you already did them.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know what those recording classes were like, but I definitely feel like the Concordia program was way more of a creative thing than the music industry arts one. And I don't know anyone else on the planet who's done both programs so far, so I might be the only person who can say this, but in general, MIA is more technical and electroacoustic studies was much more creative.
You know what I ended up doing in MIA?
What?
So a lot of the time, once we hit that third semester, because it's 3 consecutive semesters, 52 yeah, weeks of uninterrupted school, which is pretty rough. Most people are used to doing like 2 semesters, then you get at least the summer. And by that third semester, people were getting so burned out that they were focusing entirely on doing their projects and doing non-studio stuff. So they would book sessions in the studio because you have to book like a minimum amount just to get your things done. And then they wouldn't use them and the studio was sitting empty. And every time I noticed that happen, I would just stay I would just use their slot, which technically you're not allowed to do, but hey, there's a statute of limitations on my crimes in the MIA years. So I can tell this story. So I would just stay in the studio all night long for all those booked slots that people didn't use. And I would just mix and practice my signal flow and do all of these things. And then I would just walk home at like 5 a.m. as the sun was rising. And I was so like sleep deprived. I was listening to Oh Wonder, trippy stuff like that. It was amazing. That is the period when I learned the most, was just like diddling around on this beautiful giant SSL duality. When, like, honestly, when am I going to get the chance to use a piece of gear like that again? So I just said, I'm just going to every possible second I can have with this thing.
You know, Q, that was something I really didn't take advantage of. Obviously, I didn't do the MIA course, but I didn't take advantage of that enough at Concordia. And I don't know if I've said it here, but I've definitely said it before. It's something I kind of regret a little bit. And it's great that you took advantage of that because
I agree, you know, so much with you.
Yeah. I'm looking back at it and it was definitely something that I should have definitely taken more advantage of the studio equipment.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked at how common it was for people to just not use their session. And I said, like, to prioritize, I'll be honest, my grades were not very good for that course that I did there. But I think the reason why I'm working in the industry, I'm not making, you know, I'm not producing Beyonce's next album, but I am working in the industry. And so many people dropped out, especially around COVID, is because like I really was purely there for like the studio related stuff. Like that really was my calling. I really just personally do not have a penchant for business or contracts or all of the other sort of side classes. I was kind of struggling with those, but I felt like as soon as I was in the studio, I was like, I feel like this is something I could really do and hone my skills and be good at.
I'm with you so much on that. Yeah. And if I may add to that, I genuinely feel like the people who did that are people like you, like myself, like Jacob, who was another guest that we had on this year. And that's what you have to do when you have that offered to you. When you have access to gear like that, use it to the fullest all the time. Learn. Like, that is something that I really, like, it hits home when you say that. So I'm with you when you say that.
Well, here's the thing. I also dropped out of college. So take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, because it would look much better if I was coming out of it with an actual degree. But like I said, the value to me was always the connections, meeting these professors, asking them a million questions that probably got super annoying for them eventually, and just like trying all this stuff. Like, I guess, what is the expression that you get? Like, hands-on learning versus theoretical learning?
Yeah.
I have to be like touching this patch bay to understand it.
Same. That's the worst part.
So... let's Q, is there anything else that you wanted to mention in this introduction of you, or should we move to our final segment?
I guess I technically did not answer your question. I started playing piano when I was 6, and then yes. I started playing guitar when I was 15, and it was both of them were a bit of classical, a bit of jazz, and then you know, gradually added in bass, drums, and sort of slowly picked up all of the standard instruments, took a few lessons in each one, mainly for the purpose of just communicating better with the artist. I found that really helpful to be able to, you know, when I'm tracking a drummer, I've noticed so many producers, the way they speak to the talent is there's a disconnect there where they're going, just give it more energy. And the drummer's like, I don't know what you mean. So the fact that I know the phrase, I know what a paradiddle is, I know what all of these terminologies for each instrument, I have at least a base enough knowledge of them that I can really be specific with my words when I ask a musician to do something. So that was really my motivation for learning all of these things. I'm not a professional in anything, I would say, except for piano. But that's pretty much my musical background, yeah. To answer your original question, which I totally took a tangent off of.
All good, but thank you so much for answering it. All right, I think it's time to move on to our final segment. What are you guys going to expect in 2023 now that we have a new member? Maybe more episodes? Maybe more stuff? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see you in 3 seconds. So, welcome to our final segment. What are people going to expect in 2023 with now that we have a new addition to our podcasting team? What's going on, Anthony? Let's let you introduce this new endeavor that you and Q are taking on.
Yeah,
you guys are doing something big this year.
Yeah. So, well, in 2022, we had you and I interviewing guests and meeting new people. This year, we're going to have Q. Well, we have Q on, and that naturally means we should have more episodes. So what we were thinking is, you know, perhaps some conversational episodes between Q and myself. You know, so not every episode has to be guest-based, you know?
Yeah.
Not every episode has to have interview. It's just... more, like I said, conversational, relax. Not that the others aren't, but you know.
Basically, these conversational episodes are going to be new topics that Q and Anthony will be doing once a month on top of all of the guest interviews that we will be doing once a month as well, meaning 2 episodes a month. We are doubling the amount of episodes. And I'm going to be more on the interview side of things. I might come on the conversational ones. We might have previous guests from 2022 come on, but I'm definitely going to be much more involved in the interview side of things, and Q and Anthony will also be alternating onto the interview episodes with me. And I'm very excited because it's going to give a new perspective on the, because it was always the same two people every time for these. So it kind of gave like a same setting. But I think that giving a new perspective with new co-hosts every episode will be able to freshen things up a bit more. So it's not always the same format. In terms of episode...
That's what I am, Jan. I'm fresh.
Yes, yes.
Your content. Your, that's how you are.
New fresh. The new freshness is in town. The musical perspective will be asking questions to the engineers and artists and film music composing, sound designing professionals of the audio world. And his name is Cruz Gordon, and we're very excited to have him on.
That's right.
Exactly.
He's bringing,
exactly.
Yeah, he's bringing the tough questions, the hot takes.
Yeah. I never met Q in person, and I already felt like I've known him for a long time. So
yeah,
oh, well, yeah. That's very sweet. We have actually never met. That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, but you know, to be fair, you moved to Montreal, and I left because you came.
We just traded. Yeah,
I don't like this guy. I gotta leave. I gotta move city.
that's like a next level of like not vibing with someone. It's like this whole town is tainted now. I need to. Absolutely. To find a new land for my people.
Oh my gosh. Let's maybe go over now to, before we leave all of you, our guests this year. We already have 8 confirmed of the 12 guests.
Yep.
And I don't want to say who we're interviewing, but you can definitely expect some big, big, big conversation with some very talented and interesting people. I don't want to say they're going to be better than 2022 guests, because you can't just say it like that, but they definitely are going to bring a new perspective that 2022 hasn't touched yet. We're going to be interviewing more film music composers, super interesting audio engineers, artists,
musicians, yeah, sound designers, perhaps even some more DJs.
This year's guest lineup is going to be very good. I'm so excited. We have some big industry names, is the only way I will put this. You are not expecting this. You enable your notifications, fam, because what is about to hit your podcast feed, and I'm not overhyping here, is huge. When I was confirming these guests, I was sending them into the Discord server with Q and Anthony. It was all hype. It was big hype. It was big hype.
Anthony, would you agree?
What do you want to add to that, guys?
That like 85% to 90% of Jan's group texts are like all caps. Like this
they
man,
are. They're not 85 to 90. They are 100%.
The people that we're getting on this year. It's
no, I'm just illustrating how excited you are for these upcoming.
Absolutely,
guests.
I am super excited. I'm super pumped. We got some old friends that of ours, and we got some potential new friends, you know, like big names. So I'm really, really, really excited about that.
Likewise. QA, is there anything you want to add to that? Like other guest list of people you saw? Like you definitely threw in some names of your own in there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited to meet new people. I very much like the idea of like using the podcast as a platform to network and to meet like new people that I would never have talked to outside of like if I was just doing my job, you know? And I have never really had like an in-depth conversation with a film composer. I have so many questions. One of my best friends is a sound designer, so I can't say that, but DJs, I really don't know much about it. Like it's something that I've always been fascinated with. I want to learn, you know? So yeah, I'm excited to sort of pick their brain and see what there is to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we'll leave it at that. I'm telling you right now, if there's only two words I could give to the audience, if there was only two words I could give for what you can expect in terms of guests this year in 2023, I would say buckle up. So, Q, where can people find you online? Please let them know where they can follow you. All your links are in the description.
That's right. I'm fairly active on Instagram and Facebook. That's about it. But you know what? I will be focusing in the year of 2023 on growing my own little YouTube channel and my own little content there. So that's coming up. And it's just my name. It's just Caduce Gordon. But there are big things in the works. So
yes, absolutely. Anthony, where can people find you?
Very nice. Well, as you know, I'm pretty active. Well, not super active, but I'm most active on Instagram, where that's acachi.audio. That's ACACI.audio. And you can find my website at acachi-audio.com. So that's ACACI-audio.com.
Perfect. And for myself, I am at Giant Music on social media. GiantMusic.com is my website. It leads to everything I do. Everything else is there. The artwork for Soundspace is provided by GoPro Kyo. He is available for hire. He is the top link in the description. Go follow him. Go check out his website, his portfolio. His rates are very affordable, and he's doing amazing artwork. He also did the artwork, and I'm plugging this as well, for the brand new Chip Machine EP that I collaborated with Caduce on, called 5 Days, an EP where on 5 separate occasions, Caduce and I met up, recorded, and whatever we recorded that day becomes the song. And that's the concept of the EP. It's called 5 Days for that reason. Very excited for you guys to listen to this. As you are listening to this episode, that EP has likely dropped. So go follow Chip Machine everywhere for that. And make sure to follow the podcast on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're there. Go give us a 5-star review on any podcatcher you listen to us on. We are on all podcasting platforms. And that is it. So for myself, Caduce Gordon, Anthony Cachi, this has been another episode of Soundspace. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Peace.
You are now listening to Soundspace, the podcast where we interview experts and professionals in the space of sound.